If you suddenly doubled the size of a startup's board of directors, I mean, you'd probably brace for absolute chaos,
Oh,
right?
yeah, total gridlock.
Right. But in government, expanding that inner circle is sometimes the only way to build actual capacity. So, welcome to today's deep dive, where we are looking at a 2019 South African Government Gazette. It's volume 646, number 42394, to be exact.
Yes, and our mission today is really to summarize the core changes made to the Public Service Regulations of 2016 by the Minister for Public Service and Administration, Ayanda Dilablo.
Okay, let's unpack this because it's really easy to gloss over a gazette as just standard government plumbing, you
Oh,
know?
for sure. It looks incredibly dry at first glance.
Exactly. But these few crossed out lines actually decode how power and resources are distributed in real time.
They really do. Looking closely at this brief document reveals a massive shift in how a specific mechanism of the government operates. It's not just a clerical update, it's a deliberate structural change.
And the most glaring shift is this amendment to Regulation 100. The text literally crosses out the old limit and explicitly changes the maximum number of people appointed to an advisory body from 5 to 10.
Right, essentially doubling the brain power in the room.
Yeah. But going back to that startup analogy, I mean, adding more seats at the table brings in a wider range of expertise, sure. But honestly, doesn't doubling the size of a committee usually just guarantee longer meetings and bog down decision making?
Well, a startup board is a good comparison, but in government, the stakes are completely different. Startups move fast and break things, right? But governments expand capacity to ensure they don't break things.
So it's a stability play.
Precisely. What's fascinating here is the deliberate choice to prioritize broader perspectives over a tight, fast-moving inner circle.
Because if you're advising a minister on national policy, you probably want those 10 distinct areas of specialized expertise on hand.
Exactly. It's a calculated trade-off. They are accepting a slightly slower process to gain a much wider field of vision.
Okay, that makes sense. But expanding from 5 to 10 advisors creates an immediate practical problem, which is the budget. Like, how do you pay 5 extra high-level experts without just draining the department's funds?
Which brings us directly to the mechanism in the second major update, the amendment to Regulation 103. If you're going to double the size of an official government body, you immediately have to solve that money issue.
Right. And the old rule was pretty vague from what I read. It just essentially said advisors would be remunerated according to a general standard.
Yeah, the amendment completely removes that flexibility. Now, the language states that pay must be strictly equivalent to the scales applicable to members of a committee of inquiry, as determined by the National Treasury.
So what does this all mean mechanically? Like, why did the government need to link the pay specifically to a committee of inquiry? It sounds incredibly rigid compared to the old language.
It is rigid, and honestly, that's the entire point. A committee of inquiry scale is a predefined, highly regulated National Treasury tier.
Oh, I see. So it's about standardization.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it illustrates a core concept of bureaucratic standardization. Anchoring the pay to an existing treasury framework prevents arbitrary salaries and ensures financial consistency as the advisory body grows.
Got it. By legally tethering the pay to this specific tier, the minister is actually removing her own ability and any future minister's ability to arbitrarily set salaries for these new seats.
Precisely. It's the ultimate defense mechanism against runaway costs or patronage.
It's like expanding the dimensions of a sports team's roster. I mean, if you are going to allow 10 players on the field instead of 5, you need a strict salary cap tied to a wider league standard so the owner doesn't just go bankrupt signing everybody.
That is a perfect way to put it. As executive power expands, bureaucratic constraints must tighten simultaneously to maintain that democratic balance.
It really shows how these seemingly dry structural tweaks operate in tandem. I mean, it shows how the gears of government actually turn. Changing one dynamic, like the size, forces a change in another, like standardized pay.
You can't change the size of the room without reinforcing the floorboards.
That is exactly right. Which leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over today as you go about your week.
Yeah, let's hear it.
If expanding a government advisory body requires such strict, predefined financial guardrails, just to keep the budget from derailing, at what point does an advisory group become too large and expensive to simply just give advice?
That's a great question.
Definitely something to think about the next time you see a gazette cross your feed. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.